And joining us on the phone from down in Minneapolis is Dr. Ann Johnson, who is with the Civil Engineering Department at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Johnson, can I call you Ann?
Yes, but don't call me doctor because I don't have my PhD yet.
Oh, okay. Somewhere I read that you were a doctor. Okay, well, good.
I wish.
I'd rather call you Ann anyway.
Yeah, just call me Ann.
Ann, thank you so much for taking time on a Friday evening to join us. And we're going to talk a little bit about the solar decathlon. First of all, briefly describe, although we've talked a little bit about it before we came on air with you, briefly describe what the solar decathlon is.
Well, it's an international competition sponsored by the U.S. Department of Energy that invites 20 colleges from around the world to compete in a project that requires them to design and then build an 800-square-foot solar-powered home. So we're competing with each other, not just on our design and our engineering and our architecture, but also on our construction and the way that we present the house.
Now, when you say we, who are you talking about? Are we talking about undergraduate students at the university?
Well, some undergrad, some graduate students. Right now, we have a core group of about 40 students working on the project.
Mm-hmm.
But over the course of the 2 years that we've been spending on the project, we've had anywhere, I would say, roughly 150 students. The majority are undergrads, but we also have some graduate students that have really helped us with some of the pretty high-level technical engineering stuff. But, you know, we have more undergrads at the university, so we also have more undergrads on our team.
Sure. Now, you said for 2 years, so basically this competition first came online back in 2007, is that correct?
Yep, this is the fourth time that the Department of Energy has sponsored this contest. The first time was in 2002, then 2005. Then 2007, the university decided we wanted to take a stab at it. So we went out there and we're just onlookers. We tried to get into as many houses as we could in the fall of 2007. And then we came back and wrote a proposal and were selected in December of 2007. So we've been working on this project for almost 2 years now.
Now, you said that the 20 different colleges and universities from around the world, I was thinking it was just the U.S., how many apply to do this originally? And I'm assuming that there is some kind of selection process.
Yep, just like any other university grant award, we had to put together a proposal that outlined our strategy and our competencies, what we brought to the project. So we did that, and again, we were selected. It was the first time we tried, so we were pretty proud of ourselves. There's 15 competitors from within the continental U.S., and then there's 5 international competitors. There's a team from Germany. They won last time.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a team from Puerto Rico, a team from Spain, and 2 teams from Canada.
How many, now you mentioned that you had a total of how many over the 2 year period students and grads, absolutely
over 150.
Wow.
If we counted all of them, because, you know, some students are only interested in a very small part, maybe the market viability of the house or some, you know, very specialized area, the landscape of the house or something. So then they would come in, maybe be involved for a couple months, and then not be so interested in the construction or the final product. So through it all, I'm certain that we've had over 150 students working on it. It's just a really fun thing and fun to be involved in.
Now, what is your involvement? I mean, what is your role with the team?
Well, I'm the director of the construction management program at the university, and because of that, I was asked by the deans of College of Design and Institute of Technology to serve as the overall project manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the project manager from the faculty perspective. But we really wanted this project to be student-driven, so we also have a project manager from the student level. So she and I work really closely, kind of the management team, along with a few other people. So I just manage the overall project, the funding, making sure we have people covering all of the tasks, et cetera.
All the easy stuff.
Well, actually, it is the easy stuff when you look at my student partner has all the hard stuff. She has to design the house and manage all the students, although I kind of manage the students, too.
You talked about all the students and grads that have been involved. What different areas, what different specialties do they come from? I don't assume that all of them are engineering students, necessarily.
No, and that's what makes the University of Minnesota team really strong, and that's why I'm really very confident in how well we're going to do. I hope that I don't regret those words later, but we brought together anybody at the university who really wanted to get involved, focusing on three different colleges: the Institute of Technology, which houses all the engineering schools. So within there, we have civil engineering students, electrical engineering students, mechanical engineering students that worked on the project. Then within the College of Design, we had all the architecture students, landscape architecture students, graphics design students, interior design students, and there's one more I'm forgetting. And then in College of Continuing Ed, we house the construction management program. So there's also students from, you know, journalism and liberal arts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had some just plain old art students. Lots of students came to us, and if they wanted to be involved, we let them. So we really drew on the strengths from across the university. Some colleges don't do that. So if they have an architecture program in an engineering school, they might just keep this project within the architecture school and let other people work on it.
Sure.
But I think the fact that we've drawn from all this other expertise is going to make our project much stronger.
We're visiting with Ann Johnson, who is the faculty project manager for the University of Minnesota's team in the Solar Decathlon 2009. Now, as I was mentioning to Buck, there are actually 10 different categories that that the judging takes place. Can you talk just real briefly about those 10?
Yes. Well, the project or the contest is called the Decathlon because there's 10 contests. Some of them are subjective and some are objective. So, for example, the subjective ones require us to submit a set of construction documents and engineering calculations that are judged by a jury of professionals. So things like engineering, architecture, lighting design, market viability, and communication plan. Those are judged by practitioners. Then there's objective contests like appliances, hot water, home entertainment, net metering, and I knew I'd forget the last one. Comfort zone. Thank you. That are objective. You must have some notes. And those, we just get awarded points every time we're able to complete a task. So, for example, with appliances, every time that we are able to wash dishes or wash towels and dry them adequately, we get a certain number of points. So it's a very well-thought-out contest overall. You cannot just sit on the mall, because that's where the houses go, to the National Mall. You can't just sit there and suck up energy and hope to win net metering, which is what the one contest that awards any team that comes out at net zero over the course of the week. You have to use energy, so you have to throw a dinner party, you have to boil water, you have to run a hot shower, and you have to compete in all these other areas so that they can see how the house really performs. It doesn't just, you know, harness energy, but it really would be something that people could live in and sustain their lifestyle.
Well, now tell
it's
us
very strategic.
Tell us a little bit about your house. First of all, you said earlier that the contest is you have to design and build an 800 square foot home.
Right.
So talk a little bit about the University of Minnesota's home.
Oh well, our house is really beautiful, and that's just not me. We had over 1,000 people tour the house last week. They weren't allowed inside, but they toured the outside, and then we had some slideshows of the inside. We have lots of pictures at our website, which is just solardecathlon.umn.edu. And, in fact, if you go to the University of Minnesota's homepage, we're featured on the homepage, so we're real easy to find. But our house is called the Icon House, I-C-O-N. We wanted our house to be iconic, meaning familiar, comfortable, traditional. We wanted it to be a home. And I think our house really is a home. It's got many, many very warm, natural colors. It's got traditional sheetrock. We built it with traditional house construction methods. A lot of the houses that you'll see on the National Mall for the Decathlon are made out of these kind of metal or plastic panels. They look very high-tech, and our house doesn't look like that. We have beautiful recycled wood floors, maple cabinets, very high-tech appliances, some beautiful colors that our interior design students have incorporated into the house, and I think it's really very nice. The one really outstanding feature of our house is we have a deck, which is very unusual for the Decathlon. We have a 2,000-square-foot deck and 250 square feet of sod that's part of our deck, and I'm so excited for people to see this because, as I said, I went in 2007. Most schools don't even have a deck. They just have, you know, maybe some temporary stairs up to the front door. But we wanted our house to reflect the iconic Minnesota house. And truthfully, you know, I would guess that the majority of houses in Minnesota do have a deck. People live outside in Minnesota when they're able. So we incorporated this fantastic deck with these enormous Corten steel planters with apple trees and prairie grasses and a beautiful big outdoor dining table. I'm very excited about our deck. So I think if you saw our house, I think most of the people that I've shown our house to have said, wow, what a great cabin, or I would love to live here. You know, we haven't even talked about the technology. This house could exist totally off-grid. It's, you know, 100% self-supporting in terms of the energy needs, too. Now, I haven't talked about that.
You talked about sod on the deck? Because, you know,
yes.
the mall has grass.
Well, actually, if you've been to the Capitol Mall, it really doesn't have grass.
No,
it has
right.
kind of rotten dirt.
Yeah.
But our landscape architecture students came to our team. And as I said, we tried to welcome anybody from the university that wanted to be involved. So they came with this pretty crazy, I hope none of them are listening, but it was a pretty crazy deck plan with a much more sod than we ended up with. And it just wasn't constructible. So I challenged them to work with the construction students and come up with something that was constructible. I think they did a great job. So they basically built these enormous planters. They weigh a ton and a half each.
Jeez.
And they set down into the deck framing, so as you're walking along the deck, you would step directly off at the same elevation into grass. And they've been growing the grass for about 2 months, so it's well established. We have a capillary irrigation system that will keep the grass watered from our gray water and our rainwater. And there's not necessarily any points from the contest to be awarded for something like that. But again, I think it reinforces our value of a traditional home, something that's not just a box of technology.
Sure.
So
now,
I'm pretty excited.
Did you have this home up for the state fair?
Well, we tried to.
Oh.
We didn't get some of our solar panels in time. And we just ran into a few other construction problems. So we were at the Energy Experience at the fair, and we were trying to promote our house, but we weren't actually at the fair.
So
we didn't have it there.
How are you going to transport this thing? All those stuff, as well as these one and a half ton
planters.
Things. Yeah. How are you going to transport all this stuff to the mall in Washington?
Well, it's already it's already in process. We started taking the house apart yesterday. We built it in 7 pieces, and the house comes apart. There's 3 bottoms, 3 tops, and then this kind of sun porch piece on the east side. Those pieces today are being shrink-wrapped, kind of like, well, we're having a marine a marina do it, so just like you see boats in the winter shrink-wrapped. Our house is being packed and shrink-wrapped today, and then it'll be loaded onto 5 flatbed trailers, and the rest of the stuff will be loaded into 2 container trucks. And it leaves on Monday morning, and it will get to the National Mall about 9 o'clock on Wednesday night. Then on Thursday morning at 12:01 a.m., all 20 colleges are allowed to start unpacking. So we had to submit a minute-by-minute logistics plan so that they could manage all of this traffic and the crane and all the other enormous pieces of equipment that are going to be crowding up the mall. We have 6 days to unload it, put it back together, and get it operational so that we can open it for tours to the public on October 8th.
So obviously a lot of your work is going to be done at night, and I assume with floodlights and all the rest of that.
Yeah, just today I went to Home Depot and bought every headlamp they had. So we are really excited. It's been the culmination of much hard work over 2 years. But I think getting to the mall is just going to recharge my whole team. So not only do I have about 24 students going out next week, but I have a team of contractors from around the metro area that are going to be helping my students in things like electrical and mechanical. And we're all staying together at one big Residence Inn, and I think it's going to be nonstop work. We will work around the clock until we get the house back together.
So you'll have about 24 students plus the contractors to get the house unpacked.
To get it up, yep, and that's just for the initial stage. Then on the 7th, that team will come home, and then the tour guides come out. So on the 8th, we have all of the students who are really passionate about a specific area. We've been told we have to be able to run hundreds of thousands of people through our house. And so our tours will only be about 4 minutes long. And there really will be just thousands and thousands of people through it every day. It's a pretty popular event. When I was there in 2007, we tried to get through as many houses as we could in one Saturday, and we got through about 8 of them. And that was being very diligent. So, you know, it'd be fun to see all of them, but it's pretty hard to do that.
Once again, we're visiting with Ann Johnson, who is the faculty project manager. She's in the Civil Engineering Department at the University of Minnesota for the Solar Decathlon. When you decided to do this 2 years ago, did you have any idea of the magnitude of the project that you were getting involved with?
Absolutely not. In fact, when the
And the second part of the question is, would you do it again?
You know, I would, as head of the construction management program, I can't imagine not doing it again, because it's been such a great experience for not only my construction students and my civil engineering students, but the architecture students, the EE students, everybody to work together. They just don't have opportunities like that at the university.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hate to see it not happen again. Frankly, though, I'm exhausted. I don't think my children would let me do it again. But my assistant, who's been working with me for the last 2 years, he very much wants to be in charge now. So we, once again, will have to apply. We'll have to submit a proposal, and hopefully we'll be selected to compete in 2011. But I really hope we get in again, because it's been an amazing experience. Just from a parent's perspective, though, me being the parent, it's been a little too much outside.
A little tough on the family
outside
life.
Outside the home, yeah. But that's okay, you know. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I'm glad I had it.
Well, you hope it is. You hope you're not going to be going through this again. In closing, what about the whole thing from this whole two-year period? And obviously, you haven't gone out to Washington yet, but what's been the most exciting part of this whole thing for you?
Well, without question, it's been working with the students and just seeing them come together as a team. Again, as I mentioned, this is absolutely the first time that different colleges at the university have worked together. And when we started, we were very segregated. There was the engineering students, there was the architecture students, there was the construction students, there was the graphic students. And they had they kind of had some stereotypical ideas about each other. They, you know, maybe one group thought they were the smart ones, one group thought they were the creative ones, without, you know, it was just getting too specific. But, you know, we really made a commitment to work together. And we also said that every leader from every individual team, being engineering, architecture, et cetera, had equal say. And so over the 2 years, this team, you know, we have a core group of about 15 that have just stayed so committed over 2 years. They've helped each other make decisions on stuff way outside their comfort zone or their, you know, normal box.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just so committed, and I'm so proud of them. I mean, it's just so fun to see them show off, you know, give a tour and talk about the desiccant dehumidification system that they designed, or the kitchen appliances that they selected, or the solar thermal system that they installed. You know, there's no other opportunity at the university to work on a project like this, you know, one that's so practical and so visible. And so that, by far, has been the most exciting part. I mean, yeah, the competition's coming up, but I'm just so excited even now just seeing where they've come in the last 2 years. So that's really been exciting for me.
Last question. Would you live in the home?
Oh, I would love to live in this house. You know, it is beautiful.
What happens to the home when you're all done? When you get back from Washington, what happens to the home?
Well, I can answer that question now, because I just met with the president of the university on Tuesday night, and he told me he felt pretty strongly that it needed to stay at the university.
Oh.
Now, the university is a big place, so it may stay at, you know, a research center up in Itasca, or at the Bell Museum, or so not necessarily on the East Bank campus,
mm-hmm.
Possibly at Umore Park in Rosemont. But we have not been as successful at fundraising as we wanted to be, so we've incurred more costs than we've raised. And I was worried about that and talked to him about possibly selling it. And he really felt strongly that we needed to keep it as a learning tool and as a resource. So I think we're going to put together an RFP, a request for proposals, and see, you know, what different departments at the university had a good use for it.
Sure.
And maybe the engineering school can use it as a research center or whatever. But I think I can say with some certainty it'll stay within the university system, to serve the students in some way. And I'm really glad about that.
Yeah, that's great. We have, excuse me, go ahead.
Oh, excuse me, Bob. And my name is Buck. I'm a co-host here with Bob. And I just had a question about, was this home designed to be totally off the grid capable as far as heat is concerned, like passive solar?
Yes, it has. We designed the house. We could have designed the house for the one-week competition in Washington, D.C., but our students decided, again, to be the iconic traditional solar house in Minnesota. So we designed it for Minnesota, and our energy model shows that the house actually will produce, under pretty conservative conditions, it will produce 13 months' worth of energy over a 12-month period based on the energy needs of a couple living in the home. So the house can live, you could, based on our energy model, live totally off-grid. We have some supplementary heating. We have just a small heating unit and a small air conditioning unit in case the solar thermal, you know, in case it gets cloudy or something and you don't have quite enough to heat it with just the solar thermal or with the PV system. But it absolutely could exist off the grid.
And we're approaching those months that it's difficult to do that. And then, of course, being November, December, the last part of October, where it really is tough to have enough sunny days to operate that way.
Yeah, actually, our energy model shows that November, December, January are our lowest energy production, but we're still, this house has quite an enormous array. It has an 8-kilowatt array, which is designed for the competition, not necessarily what you would need, you know, for your own family or for yourself. But based on our enormous array, we still have enough energy produced in those cloudy months. These PV panels actually are more efficient if they're cold. So once we get past cloudy January, February, March, April are our highest production months. So if we did live off grid, we would be storing energy in batteries. Our house will be hooked up to the grid so that we can monitor the net metering. That's the big point awarded contest in the decathlon. So we will actually be hooked up to the grid, but you could hook it up to batteries and live off grid.
Well, we'll be down to hang out on the deck.
Yeah, with a lot of our friends for 2,000 square feet. We've been visiting.
All right, well, now I challenge you to go to our website or watch us when we're competing and say, oh, there's that deck she told us about.
That's
it
right.
Really is amazing.
We've been visiting with Ann Johnson. She is on the faculty at the Civil Engineering Department at the University of Minnesota and is the faculty project manager for the team for the Solar Decathlon. Ann, thanks so much for taking time to visit with us on a Friday night, and best of luck in the competition.
Thank you.